The Kingston Community House for Self-Reliance, widely known as 99 York, has for 30 years been providing a central, low-cost meeting space for groups that allow like-minded people to come together to learn from one another, to share resources and trade skills. The goal of this house is to act as an integral part of the neighborhood in which it is located. On a typical evening, an autism caregiver relief group will be at 99 York, together with a 12-step organization and a transgendered support group, while a social justice and homeschooling group may be booked in the following day. The community house is also available for less official functions, such as barbecues, birthday and office parties, and other social gatherings. We are proud to also serve the Queens community. For more information, visit 99 York Street in Kingston. Go to www.99york.org, email info@99york.org, or call 613-542-1136.
Have you been to The Real? The Real Out Entertainment and Educational Library, located at Harz at 844 A Princess Street, acquires queer Canadian and international film and video on DVD to foster gender and sexual diversity education to residents in our region who lack accessibility to these resources, who may feel isolated from queer culture, or who may wish to increase their awareness of GLBTTQI issues. Membership to The Real Out's art project is only $20 annually or $40 for agencies and organizations, and this allows you access to over 1,500 DVD titles ranging from documentaries, short films, dramas, camp cult classics, to iconic examples of queer representation in Hollywood cinema. Open Monday to Friday, 1 to 5 p.m., or by appointment, you can call 549-REEL or visit www.realout.com for more details.
The Youth Diversion Program is a charitable organization which has offered service to youth in the Kingston area since 1974. The goals of the organization are to allow youth to take responsibility for their behavior, to reduce the number of youth involved in the young offender system, to reduce the number of people victimized by youth in our community, and to involve the community in youth corrections. The Youth Diversion Program believes that all members of our community have the responsibility to provide all youth with the opportunity to develop and grow to their fullest potential. They work in partnership with the community to develop quality programs to assist youth to make positive changes in their lives and at the same time take responsibility for their actions. For further information, call 613-548-4535 or email info@youthdiversion.com.
Welcome to Radio Pandemic here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting live from the basement of Carruthers Hall in Kingston, bringing you tonight's show about the COVID-19 crisis. We'll have some messages for you, hopefully some call-ins. We encourage everyone to give us a call if you have something to say. You can call 613-533-CFRC, that's 533-2372, and let us know what you think and what's going on and how you're doing.
Yeah, and for those of you who maybe don't want to be live on the air, we now have a voicemail line, which you can call in and record a message. And you can reach that at 613-329-2693. So, yeah, should we maybe give people our question for the day? Talk about what we're going to be talking about for the next hour?
Definitely. So you might have, I guess we've been thinking about this, and hopefully you're thinking about this too. Tonight we wanted to talk about the role of shaming and policing one another's behavior in the context of the COVID-19 crisis. So I guess we're wondering, have you experienced being aggressively shamed or called out for your actions or lifestyle choices since the start of social distancing practices or measures being encouraged? Have you tried to communicate the seriousness of this public health crisis to others who aren't taking the situation as seriously as you think they should? And what role do you think the police should play in all of this? Hopefully you all have thoughts about that and you can call in and let us know.
Yeah, I think this is something that's been on my mind since, I don't know, for about the past 2 weeks when people started to take the COVID crisis more seriously. Stores started shutting down and events started being canceled, and it just became maybe like the one topic that people are talking about. I think it's a bit, yeah, for me, it's been about 2 weeks that I've noticed that, and there's been a lot of, you know, a lot of people have different ideas of what people should be doing in order to contain the spread of the virus, and it's become really contentious in a lot of circles of people. There's many different opinions on what people should be doing, and if you have either been told that you're not doing enough or think that other people aren't doing enough, we want to hear from you. We want to hear what you have to say and your take on that.
For sure. I also think that people, even if what you think people should be doing is practicing social distancing and just generally exercising a lot of caution during this global pandemic, what that looks like can maybe look different, or people can maybe make assumptions about what's going on when they see people walking beside each other outside, or people making certain choices about their own health and practices that might not be, that maybe you don't know what's going on in someone's life, but hopefully we can hear some of what's going on in your lives tonight.
Yeah, so once again, if you have something to say, you can call us, we can put you on the air. If you call 613-533-CFRC, if you want to leave a voicemail, you can call 613-329-2693.
So we'll have a song coming up for you in a bit here, but I also wanted to encourage you to, you can reach out to us by email, so radio_pandemic@riseup.net. You can find us on Facebook at Radio Pandemic 613, and we're also on Twitter and Instagram at radio_pandemic. But coming up next, we have Too Ambitious by Lee Reed.
Yeah. My city shooting like a star, that rich in Floridian music and art class. War on the block to develop a plot plans. Frame your places, paint the blank canvas. Thank the bank and the real estate agent. Paid for a blog with the favorable praising. Baker's offer of the brand new places. Great big hurrah for the mass displacement. Reframed it, they say rejuvenation. Like less hand with more lands is something great. Till half my city sky getting scraped in. Movers and shakers is on the taking. That high on the plate ain't divided. Fate decided. Suit and tie with the boost of vibe. Who been thriving and who been taking all the prizes? Who gon' survive new steel prices? And whose life's nice for t-shirt slogan? Ambition managing, planning motives. And ambition's getting my city stolen. Up the hands of the broke. Ambition it wrote that. Toll on the folks that been forced to post the most for rent to go to men. To spend the heat, the trend, to keep the peep from means to end. Feed the fam, to please the man, to build the rent, their backs is betting. Ambitious vision, most folks, they can't afford the new city, man. Too damn broke to blow that whole fitty on. Two burgers and coke to go, do you get me? Like, who's got the dough for new steel city? Like, whose life so nice, they sitting there pretty, man. Most folks is getting tight with they spending, cause price of life is getting so expensive. Unending, unrelenting, bomb drop it. Shot from the property bubble in Toronto. Attack with blasts of glass and condos. And stolen homes of the working class folks. And no tomorrow, they move so fast. They're trying to act while the graft is at its max. And then collapse, disasters waiting to happen. When market math, it corrects and contracts. And past that zone and map the streets out. Fat cats grabbing up all them treats now. Your hood's getting leased just to feed the beast now. Bay Street, we gone, need some readouts, gone. See some bleed out, with seat to post. Them folks to squeeze the most for home. The taller folks to show the old and broken bone. They holding hope, but the city's cold. Too ambitious, man. Most folks that can't afford the new Hamilton. Most folks is too broke to keep with your plan. Most folks that can't afford the condition of your ambition. Too ambitious, man. Most folks that can't afford the new Hamilton. Most folks is too broke to keep with your plan. Most folks that can't afford the condition of your ambition. They can't afford the transition. Your ambition, man. They can't afford the vision of your ambition, man. And get to sleep with the fishes with your ambition, man. Man.
And we're back. Welcome again to Radio Pandemic on CFRC 101.9 FM. In just a moment here, I was going to talk about some local initiatives that folks in Kingston are organizing as a response to the COVID-19 crisis. But even better, I have someone on the line from Mutual Aid Catarocque, who's here to tell us a bit about that. Hi, are you there?
Hi, yeah, it's Leslie here.
Mutual Aid Catarocque, are you on the line?
Yep.
Yeah, we're just having a headphone problem. Just hang on 1 second.
Magic of live radio.
There we go.
Works in all.
All right. Now I can hear you as well. Yeah, thanks so much for calling in. Do you want to talk a bit about Mutual Aid Catarocque and what you're hoping to offer?
Yeah, of course. So Mutual Aid Catarocque is a local group that's bringing together community members to support one another during the COVID-19 crisis. So that involves coordinating grocery pickups and deliveries among neighbors, help those who can't leave home due to self-isolation, and doing check-ins with people as well. But there's also sort of an advocacy campaign-based side where we've been trying to push to support those who are being impacted by COVID-19 or being left behind by the measures taken to address the sort of situation that has come up with the pandemic. So that's involved both trying to advocate ensure that the city houses people appropriately so that everyone is able to practice social distancing if they so choose. So that involved a petitioning campaign and sort of hassling City Hall and Queens and St. Lawrence College to try to invite them to open up student residences for that purpose. But it's now shifting to supporting tenants who might not know their rights with respect to resisting evictions during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard that, I guess Doug Ford has said that people who can't pay rent shouldn't pay rent, but that was kind of leaving the door open to people who in some way can pay rent being expected to pay rent, which is still sort of, you know, precarious and difficult for lots of people who might not know what the future holds for the next several months. So yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I think this is a really frightening time for a lot of people who are losing both formal and informal income. Mm-hmm. Like people are losing jobs. There are huge layoffs all over the place, including like Kingston Transit laid off hundreds of part-time bus drivers. We're seeing reduced shifts in people who formerly had like multiple incomes now only having one income.
How are, if people want to get involved with Mutual Aid Cataraqua or reach out to you for help with different things, or want to offer help to other people, how would that look like, or sort of what, yeah, what kinds of different things can people do?
So we're encouraging tenants, if they're hearing word about eviction from their landlord or are worried about eviction, we're encouraging them to call us at 613-665-2959. So that we can sort of work together, develop a strategy for resisting that and for ensuring that they kind of feel confident in doing so and supported by their community rather than being sort of isolated and maybe made to feel intimidated. Also, Mutual Aid Cataraqua has a website, which is mutualaidcataraqua.wordpress.com, where those who are either interested in getting involved in supporting, you know, their community and neighbors by offering grocery deliveries and pickup, or if they, you know, have a need for that sort of service, they can find a form that they can fill out at the Mutual Aid Cataraqua website. Yeah.
That's great. I'm really glad that people in town are looking out for each other in that way, and I guess helping build the kinds of supportive community that it takes to get all of us through something like this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was there, do you have any plans for upcoming actions or different things that you're sort of thinking might be coming down the line with Mutual Aid Cataraqua, or?
I think at this point we're largely, you know, waiting for folks to reach out to us, and then we can sort of leverage the power that we have as a community to support one another, especially with all the uncertainty surrounding rent and eviction. I think it's important that we kind of know that we can reach out to one another during this period of uncertainty.
Definitely. Well, thanks so much for calling in and talking to us. And I guess, yeah, I would encourage anyone listening to get in touch if you're a tenant facing eviction, if you need support, or if you are interested in providing support. That is mutualaidcataraqua.wordpress.com, and Cataraqua is spelled K-A-T-A-R-O-W-K-I. And do you have the phone number once more?
It is 613-665-2959. And you can leave a message at that phone number, and someone will get back to you very shortly.
Amazing. Yeah, thanks so much.
Yeah, have a good one. Bye-bye.
Bye. And so that was someone from Mutual Aid Cataraqua talking about their support initiative, and we actually have a caller on the line who I believe wanted to respond to our question. Hi, are you still there? Thanks for holding.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey. I guess what are some of your thoughts about shaming and policing and how we're all relating to each other during this difficult time?
Well, so the reason why I called in is because I've actually been like pretty vocal recently about how people are shaming others in the way that they're like handling the situation and like their sort of take on social distancing. Like, it seems that unless someone is like completely staying at home, like totally isolated, they're doing it wrong. Like, they need to be like completely cut off and totally alone. And if they are not doing that, it seems like a lot of people have really big opinions about it. And it's just, as someone who like personally deals with like a lot of mental health issues, and I know this is affecting a lot of people's mental health. Like, a lot of people I've talked to have been like depressed or anxious and everything. But like for me, like when my mental health gets really bad, I often need support from my community. And like, I have had like a friend come over, and I've seen people online just like bashing anyone who like does something like that. And it's just added to my stress and anxiety. So I don't know, like what do you guys think? Because for me, like, I think that there's a way of being like, taking this very seriously and doing your best to like isolate yourself, social distance, and protect people who are high risk without putting yourself at risk by completely isolating yourself.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. And I've also seen, just mostly on social media, really, not from people who I talk to on a regular basis, but from people who make posts in different groups or update their status on Facebook or whatever. I've seen it become a regular thing whenever someone's like, oh, I went to the park today. By the way, I wasn't nearby anyone, or I like stayed my distance from everyone that I saw, like stay 2 meters away. It's like people are adding these disclaimers to going outside and doing something other than just being in their houses all day.
Which, yeah, exactly. It's like you have to add that disclaimer. Yeah. People are going to like judge you and make you feel really shitty at this time where we literally all feel really shitty.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I'm not supposed
to say. It's all good.
Oh my God.
But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I think there's a balance between, you know, taking it seriously, but also thinking about our mental health. And, you know, most of us probably need to see people, and most of us probably need to go outside. And I think, I don't know, I think there's a lot of things that people can be doing socially while still, you know, taking things seriously and making sure that, you know, other people are protected. Something that I've seen a lot of people do, and I do myself, is people kind of picking their small group of people who they're going to see more or less on a daily basis for the next few months. Like, it doesn't have to be people you necessarily live with. It doesn't have to be your family, but, you know, picking a small group of people that are going to be your support system, and are going to be there for you and you can like socialize with, and keeping that kind of, you know, small enough that, you know, it's not a bunch of people coming together and spreading it to their respective households and stuff. But
yeah, exactly.
At the same time, I think it's okay to have those people be people who we don't necessarily live with and be people who aren't necessarily our families. And I think a lot of people all over the world have chosen families who they don't live with. And I think it's important to maintain those things for the next few months.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. I mean, like, with my family, they don't want to have contact with us right now because my partner is currently working, and I think that's totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they want to make them feel safe, and that's fine. I'm not going to pressure them to hang out with me because I need them right now at this time. There's other people who feel more comfortable, like, being around me that, you know, because I also need support, or they need support and I can give it to them. that are willing to spend time with me who are not high risk of this virus being detrimental to their health, mm-hmm. who are also practicing social distancing. So I feel like in those circumstances, that's okay. You know, like
totally.
if I know someone isn't going to be around, hanging around elderly or people who, you know, are sick or whatever, like, I don't get why I need to be shamed for that.
Yeah.
And I think people need to realize that you don't know the circumstances of other people. So you can't really, I don't know. I got really frustrated because I heard people wanting to like call police on anybody who wasn't hanging, mm-hmm. who was hanging around other people, or for this to be more like militarized. Like, it just seems like people are very scared and they want to go to extremes. And the fact that people are even thinking about losing their own freedoms over this, just it that terrifies me.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Like, yeah, it's scary to see things like people posting surveillance video of like folks who seem like they're in mental health distress, but like being like, oh, someone should call the police on this person because they're saying XYZ, is really kind of just saying, oh, this person should be kind of managed to go endanger other people in a jail, or, you know, other more vulnerable people who, like, the world has kind of decided, yeah, you don't get to stay at home by yourself. Like, I know I've been feeling kind of crazy throughout this time because I've been working, and especially early on, it wasn't that possible in my workplace to practice social distancing. So, like, then being told, like, oh, you have to do this or you're a bad person is just, like, a little... It's a head trip, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, totally. I have friends who are working right now who have been yelled at by strangers, telling them that they shouldn't be working right now because of the crisis going on. And they literally have no choice. I mean, to even be able to work right now, it's like, I mean, it sucks in a way because you're vulnerable, but also people are so financially stressed right now. I mean, it's crazy. And you can't fault someone for needing to provide for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why people need to make things worse by being shaming and hurtful and judgmental when we're all going through this, like, huge change, this big amount of stress altogether. It's just not productive. I mean, if you are worried about things, then educate as much as possible. I mean, we need to be supporting each other as a community, not going against each other just because you're scared.
Totally. Yeah, and I think nobody knows exactly how to do things right now. Like, this is such a new, different context for everyone, and it's important to have conversations with people. If you think that someone shouldn't be doing something that they're doing, it's totally fine to check in with them and be like, hey, maybe you should do things differently. But I think the amount of like public shaming that is going on, I think that's where the problem is. Like, it's totally okay to let people know how you feel about something.
Have a conversation. Yeah. A conversation is better than telling someone what to do and telling someone that they're bad.
Totally.
For sure.
Yeah.
And being like, hey, I know this is hard, but I think it's important that you do this. What do you need to be able to do this? Like, how can I make it not so miserable for you to not, you know, travel or whatever the thing is that maybe is not a good idea, which is, I think those things are real and important too. I don't just want to be like, people should do whatever they want, which I know is not what you're saying, but like, yeah,
no,
the like St. Patrick's Day party, for example, was pretty like, intense to watch on a level of like, oh wow, like people had been asking those folks to not party or gather in that way for like days, and they still decided to do it, and I wasn't really thrilled about that and think that, like, some kind of, like, social consequences for that maybe makes sense. But that's, yeah, like, a really different situation from people who, for lots of different reasons, are already kind of having a hard time in life, or who we tend to ask things from all the time in terms of, like, their sacrifice and, like, not really supporting them and, yeah, being able to express care for others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. Well, I think we have one more caller who wants to get their word in, but thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate your perspective, and we're going to go to a quick song. It's going to be Princess Nokia, Yaya.
Wakia baba, kureiteka, wamikini, wamikarayawi, wariko, wakia, tainoti, bomatung, busika, wakia, para yukubia, ahika sabi, puratan huak, nawajahua, yaya, yosa, nawahanghangka.
I can feel the spirit inside my heart, it's fast, eyes go cross-eyed, beating drums though hotter than fire, in the power I feel higher, warrior bones brown skin to tone, my eyes go close, shoulders feel low, yeah, 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 Mother Mary, from the land I've come to carry, ancestral light raise my family, bow and arrow catch you madly, genocide it is so sadly, that you know I rep you gladly, thou do they want thee dying, no, thou do they want thee dying, no, thou do they want thee dying, no, thou do they want thee dying, no.
Okama, yaya, dacha, puyo, naniki, manikato, nanichi.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Radio Pandemic, coming at you live here from Kingston on CFRC 101.9. Today, we're talking a bit about social policing and shaming and the role that it has had for the past few weeks in the COVID-19 crisis, and we're asking our listeners to chime in on what they think about it. If you have something to say, call us up, 613-533. CFRC, or leave a voicemail at 613-329-2693. And I think we have a caller here who is going to talk to us now. Hello?
Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going all right. I'm calling from the southwestern U.S., so it's, way out here.
Yeah.
I have been feeling very frustrated, I guess, by how immediately people accepted rules for, like, quarantining or self-isolation, even when, like, where I am, there isn't any shelter in place,
mm-hmm.
like, in mandatory thing. Like, restaurants and bars and stuff are closed, but, I mean, I'm in a pretty conservative area where everyone loves freedom and guns, so a lot of stuff is still functioning.
Yeah.
For better or for worse, probably worse.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like haven't personally experienced any shaming. But it does seem absolutely bizarre to me that people would give up these social relationships like so quickly, mm-hmm. and without even being asked to. And I think like what you were saying before about having a small group of people actually is extremely important and like rather essential for right now, and for most people to just feel, I don't know, just like completely comfortable in giving that up, I feel like I'm like almost shaming other people. Just like, what are you doing? Like, this can't be good. And I feel, I think, like the way that we have grown up technology and the way that technology currently exists, I think has allowed for, one, this crisis to probably explode in a way that it wouldn't have otherwise, but also make it so easy for people to be socially isolated. And like choosing that alienation through tech is what it seems like a lot of people have done, rather than, I don't know, choose your chosen group and like hell or high water, stick with them or whatever.
Yeah, I think maybe it's easy for people to do it because a lot of people's social interactions happen online anyway. And I mean, I don't really use the internet to communicate with people other than texting. And I, for me, it seems like it's definitely not enough to have interactions through my phone or computer with people. Do you
think it feels like regressing to like middle school? Just like, it sucks. It's painful.
Do you think that people should be making changes to their lifestyle in order to combat the spread of the virus, or like?
I mean, absolutely, yeah. And like, I'm not trying to be cavalier about this. Like, it is like I have people in my life who like are at risk and have like immune disorders, and I am just absolutely trying to be like as careful as I can, like just washing my hands all the time and like got like the bleach bottles all over the house, whatever. I've got like 2 houses that I frequent, like my own and another house, and like it's almost a closed loop between like I don't know 10 or so people that like live or interact with both of those houses. I think that is something that people could be discussing or welcoming more. Like, I think it makes sense for people who are extremely at risk to be like, yes, I need to completely self-isolate, or like people who are sick to quarantine. But if you're not at that point, it just seems more of a like giving into a terror factor than actually helpful or useful, both in like work that you're trying to do in your own communities and like even to stop the spread of the disease.
So maybe there's a middle ground then of, you know, taking it seriously but not cutting yourself off from everything and everyone.
I would hope so.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks so much for calling. I think we're going to move on with something. I don't know what. But, yeah, thanks for calling from the southwest of the U.S., you said?
Yep.
Cool. Bye.
Thanks, y'all.
You're listening to Radio Pandemic on CFRC 101.9 FM. I just wanted to let everyone know about a event that's going on tomorrow that you can sign up for. It's a virtual event, and it's if you're interested in some of these topics and conversations that we've been having on this show, you might be interested in what this conversation is about. So it's called We Can't Police Our Way Out of the Pandemic, and it's tomorrow, Saturday, March 28th, from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern. And if you like, you can be part of a conversation to address alternatives to policing COVID-19. So this is a conversation focused on alternatives with a vision for abolition of police. Together, we'll develop a plan for ongoing organizing and resistance. And this is the first in a series of dialogues. You're expected to be prepared to engage. So if you want to RSVP, you can send an email to mcclelland.alex. That's mcclelland. alex@gmail.com for a link and the agenda. And there's some great speakers who are, I believe, going to be presenting or participating in the call. So Robin Maynard, who's the author of Policing Black Lives, State Violence in Canada from Slavery to the Present, Zoe Dodd from the Toronto Overdose Prevention Society, Maureen Owino, Committee for Accessible HIV AIDS Treatments, Sandra Wesley from Stella, Colin Hastings from York University, Al Jones, abolition activist and scholar, Ted Kerr, what would an HIV doula do? Mickey from Queers Crash the Beat, Cyrus Ware from Black Lives Matter Toronto, and Alexander McClellan from the University of Ottawa. So again, if you're interested in participating in that conversation, you can RSVP at mcclelland.alex@gmail.com. And I believe next up we have a voicemail from someone who called us earlier and wanted to weigh in about our topic. And again, just before we get to the voicemail, I'll just let you guys know, again, we are talking about the role of shaming and policing in the COVID-19 crisis. Sorry, I'm just going to pull it up here. What is it? There we go. Sorry. Have you experienced being shamed or called out for your actions or lifestyle choices since the start of social distancing measures? Sorry. Have you tried to communicate the seriousness of this public health crisis to others who aren't taking the situation as seriously as you would like them to? And what role do you think the police should play in all of this? I know lots of people have been either calling the police themselves or just putting out calls to call the police on people who they believe are not respecting proper social distancing and infection control measures. And that's a pretty heavy thing. So if you'd like to weigh in on that, give us a call. And here is our voicemail from an earlier caller.
Hey, Radio Pandemic, calling you up from Hamilton. I want to share a few thoughts on the issue of policing each other during pandemic times. Personally, I am trying to relate to this in the same way that I would to any other kind of consent practice, where I want to communicate to other people in my life clearly about what kinds of measures I use to keep myself safe interacting with others, and then talk together and see if we can find an agreement that works for both of us about how we want to relate to each other. And if we can't, we don't coerce each other. We certainly don't call the cops on each other. We just establish self-enforceable boundaries, meaning boundaries that don't rely on controlling another person's behavior in order to just make us both feel good. I feel really concerned about the push that's going on across society to treat this as like a criminal matter and to enforce like a singular set of practices upon everyone, increasingly using violence. I think that the sets of practices that are being given to us, even if they make sense, are advised by like a really certain set of values, and that the state is valuing economic productivity and maintaining as much economic activity as possible over other things that maybe we would value more. For instance, maintaining our ability to organize, maintaining our capacity for struggle, keeping up strong relationships, doing mental health support for our friends, maintaining networks of like solidarity and mutual aid that are autonomous, things like that. So I think when we start adopting and putting ourselves into enforcing these practices, we're also accepting that the goal should be, the only goal that is acceptable, is maintaining this kind of economic productivity, and that we're not just like deciding that for ourselves. So for me, start by figuring out what goals you want, and then start thinking about what practices make sense for you and how to enforce them without coercion. Hope you're well. Take care. Stay healthy, y'all.
Yeah, thanks so much to that caller for giving us their opinion. I think there's a lot there that we can take from that. Once again, you're listening to Radio Pandemic on CFRC 101.9 or at cfrc.ca. Not on topic, but we received a message, I think an email from an anonymous employee of the Kingston Center Loblaws. And I think it's worth sharing with y'all because I've seen a lot of... I saw an article about how great the Kingston Center Loblaws is through all this, how they're giving people raises because the workers there are at risk of contracting the virus every single day and are dealing with hundreds and hundreds of customers. This is what they have to say. I work at the Kingston Center Loblaws. Our sanitizer apparently does nothing to fight COVID-19, but we're still being told to use it. We were told we were being given a $2 per hour raise a week ago, but have yet to receive it. we were told we'd be getting retroactive pay from March 8th until now. Considering we're some of the most at-risk people, I expect pay and other precautions to be taken seriously and implemented as soon as possible. We were promised sneeze shields, plexiglass in front of the cashiers, and we have yet to see them. My partner and I were at Canadian Tire today, and they had plexiglass installed in front of the cashiers, so why doesn't Loblaws have them by now? And yeah, that's the message. I think it brings up a lot about what we can expect maybe to see from companies that remain open but aren't taking the proper precautions and aren't giving their workers, you know, just enough compensation to be on the front lines of this crisis and risking their lives every single day. So thank you for that message.
For sure. I think it would be great if people who are being really intense about advocating that the police be called on individuals or otherwise are really trying to make this put the burden of keeping everybody safe on specific individuals without recognizing that different people have different sort of ease or ability to do that. Some of that energy could really be put towards asking employers, landlords, people with, you know, a lot more control over different sort of spaces to take measures that would benefit everyone and make sure that workers have safe conditions right now, because that's not always something that people individually have the most control over at their workplace or other situations, but together I think people can push for those things, and I think that would be great to see. I think that now might be a good time. I know we're talking about policing the crisis and sort of maybe trying to push back against some of the extreme or maybe harmful ways that people are trying to sort of express judgment or shame on people for not following their idea of proper infection control measures. But I also did want to again sort of go over some of the basic public health announcements and info for the day, and also specifically shout out, is it a shout out? No, it's more like info sharing. Just share some info about local services that are still open. So again, the Kingston, Frontenac, Lennox, and Addington Public Health, which you can check out their website at kflaph.ca, has info about COVID-19, symptoms to watch out for, practices you can take to keep yourself and others healthy, and including mental health and some other stuff in that. But specifically, I have some info from HARS, the HIV/AIDS regional services, that I wanted to share with everyone today. So the HARS office, like the physical space, has been closed since March 17th. But most of the HARS team is still reachable by email, and you can find people's emails on their About and Contact page at HARS.ca. For support services, you can contact 613-329-3981, and they'll respond to calls within one business day. Takeout meals are available from the front door of Martha's Table, so that's 629 Princess Street, daily from 11 to 1 p.m. And there's some other spots in town that are also serving free meals, so I'll let you guys know about that in a minute. All scheduled groups are postponed until further notice, so that does include community rentals and bookings. And I wanted to share a statement that they made, more than a week ago now, which was that the HARS community has been here before. we will approach this pandemic with the same empathy, kindness, and generosity we've shown each other in the height of the HIV/AIDS crisis, and reject the hysteria and stigma and discrimination that we know too well and are seeing on social media. We're following the guidance of trusted medical sources and steering clear of misinformation that is all too common when faced with unknown circumstances. So I really appreciate that insight from folks who and communities that have experienced that kind of stigma and discrimination around different public health crises like the HIV/AIDS crisis from some decades ago that is still ongoing and hasn't gone away despite COVID-19 creating a much worse situation for everyone, including POS folks. And the other info I had to share with y'all is, that was it. That was the info that I had to share with you guys. Once again, it wasn't. Thanks so much. My team here at Radio Pandemic is keeping me on track. So I have info also from Street Health. It's an organization that supports, that provides a lot of great harm reduction services in town here. So just to let everyone know, their opioid substitution therapy clinics are still happening and running. They're doing many phone appointments. The Rapid Access Addiction Management Program is running as normal, so they're still able to see people same day for starting treatment, and they're continuing to accept walk-ins and over-the-phone addiction management through counseling and or substitution therapies. Consumption treatment services are continuing to run as normal 7 days a week. Harm reduction supplies are still available on-site and are still being distributed to all their satellite sites in the region that remain open. The community biohazard bins, so those yellow sharps bins, are being emptied, and naloxone distribution and training continue to be offered as normal. The Street Health Pharmacy has temporarily moved to B&B Pharmacy, which is at 235 Montreal Street. So dispensing of methadone and suboxone continues at B&B Pharmacy. Again, I know it's a hard time for everyone. I know lots of us are spending a lot more time alone. And so if you're using alone, I encourage you to do what you can to make that safer for yourself, and find ways to be with other people or have people check up on you.
Cool. Thanks for those updates. How much time you got? We don't have a lot of time. I wanted to maybe just go over quickly on some news items that I've been keeping an eye on for the past few days, and I think our listeners would appreciate them. I think they're very important to follow at the moment. As many people might know, the migrants detained at the Laval Immigration Detention Center have launched an indefinite hunger strike to demand their release in the context of the COVID-19 pandemic. The hunger strikers are currently refusing all their meals despite pressure from the CBSA to desist. And yeah, I think like other prisoners across Canada and around the world, they're demanding to be released for their own safety because conditions inside jails and detention centers are already awful. And if the virus were to spread there, it would just be devastating to a lot of people. We mentioned the hunger strike before on the show, and we're bringing it up again because the strikers have actually put forward specific calls for support, and they're asking for folks on the outside to contact the Federal Minister of Public Safety and the Federal Minister of Immigration to express their support for their demands. After the show, we'll put a link on our social media page that will give you more information about that and let you know what you can do to help those folks. I also want to share briefly something that a group called the Barton Prisoner Solidarity Project has been doing, which they've been standing outside of Barton Jail in Hamilton with a banner that reads, "Jail sucks, tell us about it, coronavirus 2020. It has a phone number on it that prisoners are able to call, and they've received calls from about 24 people who are being held in Barton Jail. And the goal of having this phone line is to communicate with people and hear about the conditions inside the jail. And what they've learned so far is that prisoners showing signs of sickness are being thrown in segregation for weeks. Medical care, which already takes a month to access at the best of times, is even slower now, and expectations for that to change are low. Access to disinfectant was always restricted, and now the jail is completely running out, and access to adequate soap is unreliable. Visits have been canceled, even though they already occurred only through glass, and professional visits are canceled, and lawyer visits are being restricted. The library is canceled, and there was already very limited access to books, and that does not exist anymore. There's also, each range is triple bunked, meaning that there's 30 inmates in spaces designed for 10, and tensions are high. Clashes between inmates and guards are increasing. And also, jail superintendents have been granted the authority to release inmates with less than 30 days in their sentence early. And this has been happening at Barton. However, only a very small number of people have been released, and a lot of people at Barton are actually not convicted, have not been sentenced, are in pretrial custody. Thanks for listening. We're going to go to a song. This is Radio Pandemic.
And actually, just before we go to a song, I just wanted to shout out Calls from Home, our local prison radio show, which you'll hear a bit about in a few seconds, so I won't go on too much. But Wednesdays, 7 to 8 p.m., tune in, send us your messages for prisoners in the Kingston area. That is... What is it? Where did it go? I will put that up on our social media afterwards, because I actually don't have it right now. But you can also call us or send us voicemails, radio_pandemic@riseup.net. Send us a message give us a voicemail at 613-329-2693. Find us on Facebook, Radio Pandemic 613, and Twitter and Instagram, radio_pandemic. Thanks so much for listening. We'll catch you on Monday at 1 p.m.
Do you have a friend or family member incarcerated in the Kingston area? Then tune in to Calls from Home on the last Wednesday of every month from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on CFRC. We connect friends and families with their loved ones through the power of community radio. We'll leave a message on our hotline at 613-417-3359. Send us an email at cfrcprisonradio@riseup.net, or write to us at CFRC Prison Radio, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario, K7L3N6. Tune in to Calls from Home the last Wednesday of every month to hear your message here on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Nothing ever burns down by itself. Every fire needs a little bit of help. Nothing ever burns down by itself. Every fire needs a little.
From Embers is a show produced about anarchist ideas and practice across so-called Canada. We broadcast every Wednesday at 8 o'clock on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston. Every week we spend about an hour going in-depth about ideas, histories, and ongoing struggles that we think are important. You can check it all out at fromembers.libsyn.com.
CFRC has been on the airwaves since 1922, and we're Kingston's only campus and community radio station. We're a not-for-profit, volunteer-oriented community that strives to bring you a variety. On CFRC, there's something for almost anyone.